you love good music that stirs your soul, you've come to the right place. We call this place Respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. This is DJ Rick, bringing you just a little bit of my favorite soul, funk, and R&B music. I'm glad you can join me. I want to take you back to 1969. Richard Nixon became President of the United States. Astronaut Neil Armstrong stepped down onto the surface of the moon. There was the first confirmed death from a new medical condition, later called AIDS. Jim Morrison was arrested for indecent exposure during a concert by the Doors. The movie Easy Rider was a surprise hit in the theaters. Monty Python's Flying Circus started on television. Amazing music was released in 1969, including Simon and Garfunkel's album Bridge Over Troubled Waters, The Who's rock opera Tommy, and The Beatles' Abbey Road. I love all those great albums, no doubt all classics. But the two albums that blew me away in 1969 were Hot Buttered Soul by Isaac Hayes and Stand by Sly and the Family Stone. Let's get started with Isaac Hayes' amazing version of Walk On By.
Walk on by. Make believe. can ever see the tears I cry. Oh, there's no dust in my eye. Oh, no. Smoke ain't making me cry, no, no, no. It's the hurt you put on me. I want you to see this man cry. So please walk on by. Oh, mama, mama. Walk on
The song Walk On By was written by Burt Bacharach and Hal David. It was a pop hit for Dionne Warwick in 1964 with a sprightly bossa nova beat, but it was remade by Isaac Hayes into a very soulful, slow vamp with both a full arrangement for a string section and a funky guitar line. It was the first song on the groundbreaking album Hot Buttered Soul, and the album cut was 12 minutes long. This edited version chops it down to 4.5 minutes, but gives you a taste. In the past few weeks, while I was preparing this show about 1969, I pulled out Hot Buttered Soul, my old vinyl record, purchased while I was still in high school. I was again blown away by the complete originality and complex and lengthy arrangements. The album is 46 minutes long, and yet it has only 4 songs on the record. Isaac Hayes' version of By the Time I Get to Phoenix was nearly 19 minutes long, with over 10 minutes in a spoken rap about the trials and tribulations of love. And the album cover was mind-blowing, too. A close-up photo of the top of Isaac Hayes' shaven head dominates the cover, accented only by his gold-rimmed sunglasses and neck chain, made up of very large, heavy gold links. The album Hot Buttered Soul sold over 1 million copies. I'm planning to do an entire show of R-E-S-P-E-C-T about Isaac Hayes, since he had a great influence on soul music over many years. The Rolling Stone album guide said that Hot Buttered Soul is a, quote, landmark album. Let's pick up the pace with a cut from another landmark album.
Thank you.
That was Sing a Simple Song, released in 1969 on the album Stand by Sly and the Family Stone, a band with deep roots in San Francisco. The Stand album was a smash hit, selling over 3 million copies and going platinum. The album is often considered one of the best of the 1960s, and Rolling Stone magazine ranks it the 121st greatest album of all time. AllMusic.com states, "It has astounding funk, effervescent, irresistible melodies, psychedelicized guitars, and deep rhythms." The album was deemed significant enough that it is included in the Library of Congress National Recording Registry. Sing a Simple Song features vocals, in order, by Cynthia Robinson, Rose Stone, Freddie Stone, Larry Graham, and finally Sly Stone. The thumping bass line was by the incomparable Larry Graham, and the great beat was from the funky drumming of Greg Errico, who later played drums for other San Francisco bands, including Santana, the Grateful Dead, and many others. The song also emphasizes shifts from right to left channels of the stereophonic recording and is great to listen to with good quality headphones to get the full effect. Sly and the Family Stone was a novel band for at least two reasons. First, it was largely built on a family unit, with siblings Sly Stone, his sister Rose Stone on keyboards and vocals, his brother Freddie Stone on guitar and vocals, and his cousin Larry Graham on bass and vocals. Second, it was the first band that was mixed in both gender and race. Nelson George said that the combination was organized chaos, and the women played, the men and women sang, the blacks freaked out, the whites got funky, everyone did something unexpected. Sly was the first great R&B innovator to raise to stardom on a corporate record label. Sly and the Family Stone was one of the progenitors of the style of music called psychedelic soul. Next up, two more psychedelic soul classics.
Hold it. Listen. Hold it. Listen.
Says, come in and take a look at your man. You'd be surprised what you might find. Yeah. And told. You can learn the meaning of soul.
There ain't no such a thing as time.
All the senses in the air. Mm-hmm.
East side's man it everywhere.
I guarantee you this place will blow your mind.
You just heard two songs by The Temptations, the flagship male vocal group from Motown. Obviously, their repertoire had changed from their earlier sweet love songs written by either Smokey Robinson or Holland Dozier Holland. And you can hear the influence of Sly and the Family Stone, too. Both songs feature multiple lead vocalists, have trippy lyrics, a pulsing up-tempo beat, and scratchy rhythm guitar parts. Both songs were written by Norman Whitfield and Barrett Strong, who admit that their songwriting was influenced by the new sounds coming out of San Francisco. This songwriting duo also wrote psychedelic soul classics such as Ball of Confusion and Runaway Child Running Wild for the Temptations. One other point about the two songs you just heard. A snippet of the first song, I Can't Get Next to You, was played at the start of the second song, Psychedelic Shack. So this is one of the very first examples of the practice of sampling, which later became the bedrock of hip-hop music. I've been to quite a few concerts featuring The Temptations. Early on, I saw The Temptations show at the old Civic Ice Arena where the Seattle Totems hockey team played. The arena ice was covered with sheets of plywood for the concert, but before the temps were done, the place was overheated. The Temptations came out for the second half of the show wearing brightly colored jumpsuits with actual pieces of mirrored glass on them. And as they went through their dance steps, the colored lights were reflected all across the big arena. It was very, very cool. Speaking of cool, let's get to a cut by the Isley Brothers.
It's your thing, do what you wanna do. I can't tell you who to sock it to. It's your thing, do what you wanna do.
That was It's Your Thing by the Isley Brothers. The song went to number one on the R&B chart and number two on the pop chart in 1969. The Isley Brothers had been a recording group since the early 1950s, and in 1959 had a small hit called Shout, which has become a party classic over the years. Still, the group had bounced around the Chitlin' circuit and recorded a few songs with various record labels, including RCA and Tamla Motown, for a decade without much success. In 1969, the group started its own record label, T-Neck Records, and released It's Your Thing, which played up the then-trendy phrase, Sock It To Me. Of course, the phrase Sock It To Me had been repeatedly used in Aretha Franklin's more demanding version of Otis Redding's song Respect, sung by backing vocalists Carolyn and Irma Franklin. You can hear that piece of music used as the conclusion of every episode of this radio show. In addition, the phrase was popularized in part by the TV show Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In, who extensively used the vaguely sexualized invitation to comic effect. By the time the Isley Brothers built the song It's Your Thing around the phrase, its sexual meaning was widely understood. It's Your Thing was more than a novelty song, though. It set the course for the next decade of Isley Brothers music, with increasing emphasis on soulful and funky music, crossed with rock sensibilities. The Isley Brothers recorded 15 albums on T-Neck Records over the next decade, filled with a variety of songs emphasizing the political, personal, and even purely sexual matters of the era. It's Your Thing was also covered by a lot of artists, including by Aretha Franklin and Ann Peebles.
It's your thing.
That was Ann Peebles' version of It's Your Thing. Ann Peebles is one of my favorite soul singers. She usually favored singing slow songs in which she was the spurned woman. For example, in I Can't Stand the Rain and I'm Gonna Tear Your Playhouse Down. So it is quite a switcheroo for her to be cruising through that version of It's Your Thing, saying she doesn't care who he's socking it to. You just heard He Made a Woman Out of Me, recorded and released by Betty LaVette in 1969 on Silver Fox Records. Betty LaVette started her recording career in 1962 at the age of 16. She had serious problems with a lack of confidence in her singing and struggled to get attention and spent much of her long career in obscurity. She didn't record an album until she was 36 years old. But in 1969, at the age of 23, she had a medium-sized hit with He Made a Woman Out of Me. The lyrics in the song are clearly about the loss of her virginity at age 16 to an older man named John Henry James, who, quote, had his say and, quote, wouldn't set me free, leaving her crying out in the night. The liner notes on my copy of the album say that LaVette's voice perfectly captures the down-home blend of lust and nostalgia, but there's also a clear undercurrent of confusion in the lyrics about the way she feels about that evening and what now might be called rape. That's quite a heavy emotional load for a young woman who lacks confidence. But she also had another medium-sized hit with the sexually assertive lyrics of the song Do Your Duty. That song was written by Ronnie Shannon, who also wrote I Never Loved a Man the Way I Love You for Aretha's first big hit. Let's hear from the confident voice of Aretha Franklin, coming up next with another song written by Ronnie Shannon.
You
That was the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin's version of Share Your Love With Me. The song had been a minor R&B hit for Bobby Blue Bland in 1964, but Aretha's cover was a hit in the summer of 1969, staying at number one on the R&B chart for 5 weeks. She loved singing the song so much that she recorded it twice in 2 days during her famous concert at the Fillmore West in San Francisco.
In a desperate situation, stealing, burning, fighting, killing, nothing but corruption. It looks like mankind is on the eve of destruction. Boy, you see, people love the day that we got to learn to deal with each other.
Shake a hand, shake a hand. Yes, I'm talking about.
That was Friendship Train by Gladys Knight and the Pips from 1969. Early in this program of Respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, we heard two songs by The Temptations, while this last song, Friendship Train, was also written by Norman Whitfield and Barrett Strong, and has some musical similarities to those earlier hits by The Temps. This is DJ Rick. You are listening to Respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, on the Voice of Vashon, KVSH, 101.9 FM, LP, and streaming worldwide at voiceofvashon.org. 1969 was an amazing year. There's a book by Rob Kirkpatrick titled 1969, The Year Everything Changed. He characterized the year 1969 as a, quote, tumultuous time when it seemed as if history was being made every day. He pointed out the riot at the Stonewall Inn, where gay men fought back for the first time. Nudity and sex were prominently featured on the stage in Hair and Oh Calcutta, and in movies such as Midnight Cowboy, which was the very first X-rated movie to win the Best Film Oscar. Also, 1969 was the year of music festivals, with the Atlanta International Pop Festival drawing 100,000 music lovers, the Isle of Wight Rock Festival had 150,000, and the fateful concert at Altamont Speedway featuring the Rolling Stones drew 300,000 at the end of 1969. Closer to home, in 1969, the Seattle Pop Festival was held at Gold Creek in Woodinville. The roster of artists performing over 3 days was astounding, including Chuck Berry, The Byrds, Chicago Transit Authority, Albert Collins, Bo Diddley, The Doors, Santana, 10 Years After, Ike and Tina Turner, and Led Zeppelin. In fact, in 1969, in Seattle, Led Zeppelin played across the swimming pool at the old Aqua Theater on Green Lake, which had been constructed to do swimming musicals in the 1950s. Led Zeppelin's heavy metal rock music literally brought down the house, since the Aqua Theater was found to be damaged structurally and was torn down the following year. But of course, the biggest musical festival of 1969 was Woodstock, drawing such a huge crowd that it was considered impossible to count, but the estimates ranged from 300,000 to 600,000 fans. And although it featured amazing artists of all kinds, and great performances from such bands as Santana and The Who, in my opinion, the act that stole the show was Sly and the Family Stone.
Yeah.
Once again, we dip into Sly and the Family Stone's 1969 output. That was I Want to Take You Higher. At Woodstock, their gig started at 3:20 a.m., and Sly and the Family Stone performed in a slot between Janis Joplin and The Who. You can find 14 minutes of their finale on YouTube, and I recommend it highly. Sly exhorts the crowd to sing along by saying higher and says, "Throw the peace sign up, it'll do you no harm." And the huge crowd enthusiastically followed his lead. Sly was sporting a huge afro and mutton chop sideburns, was wearing oversized pink glasses, a heavy link neck chain, and a purple and white jumpsuit with long flowing fringes on both the body and in sleeves. Trumpeter Cynthia Robinson was wearing a shiny green tunic, and Rose Stone was dancing the pony while wearing a sheer dress and a platinum blonde wig. Fantastic stuff. In the preface of his book, For the Record, Sly and the Family Stone, Joel Selvin states, there are two types of black music before Sly Stone and black music after Sly Stone. The Sly and the Family Stone were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1993. Now, let's head on down south to New Orleans. Classic piece of funk was the single Look a Pie Pie by the Meters, who in 1969 were composed of Art Neville, Ziggy Modaliste, Leo Nocentelli, and George Porter Jr. The Meters are considered the ultimate New Orleans funk combo. About the title of the song, the story goes that the group was riding home from a gig late at night when the van they were riding in broke an engine rod. They kept going and started beating time in sync with the broken rod. The album Look Up High Pie was released in 1970, but the single was recorded and released first in 1969. Rolling Stone magazine lists the Look Up High Pie album as number 222 of the greatest albums of all time. Speaking of funk, next up, a great live cut from James Brown.
Breathe it up, breathe it up, breathe it up.
That was Mother Popcorn, recorded live in 1969. This version of the song was not released until 1996, when it showed up as the last song on the 2-CD set called Foundations of Funk, a brand new bag, 1964 to 1969 on Polydor Records. In 1969, Soul Brother No. 1, James Brown, was at the top of his popularity. He released at least 9 singles that year. The Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, said in 1968 that soul doesn't need to be defined because it's a feeling. This is DJ Rick, and you have been listening to Respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, on KVSH-FM. Thanks for listening.
Find out what it means to me.